views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network. Good afternoon and welcome to today's broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is April 17th, 2015. Hope that you all have had a productive week. I certainly have. Got a lot of things done. Some things yet to be completed, but I've made some progress. And as long as we're making progress, then that's good, right? As long as we're moving forward with things. So certainly have been doing that this week. Do want to again remind people and acknowledge those who have contributed to the 2015 Black Talk Media Project fundraiser. We're certainly nowhere near completing our goal. But we have had donations coming in, and it is helping with our propaganda operations. And so just want to acknowledge those who have given this week. We certainly appreciate it. It is much needed. And for those who have not given, we hope that you will consider supporting the Black Talk Media Project. Today is open forum, open phone lines. Let me go ahead and make sure my studio line is open. I believe it is. The studio line is 704-951-5030. Again, that is 704-951-5030. If you want to make a comment, of course, the conference line is also open. That telephone number is 530-881-1400. The access code is 549-032 pound, star 6 and 1 will get you in the caller's queue so we can bring you on air. All right, let me see. Today again, open phone lines, of course, going to discuss some of the war reports. Let me just go ahead and check the casualty reports for today. See what kind of murder and mayhem we're looking at across the land today here in the United States. Thus far today, according to killedbypolice.net, only one person has been killed. A male has been killed in Maryland. The Baltimore Sun is reporting on that, which reminds me, I don't know if y'all heard about the story of the man in Baltimore, black male, who was beaten so severely by cops that he's in the ICU. He's in intensive care unit. I think they even had to put him in a coma, you know, a medically induced coma. And yet the police still have not told us. I wonder if this guy has died and that is what is going on. No, this isn't pertaining to Baltimore police, but a man dies in police custody in Hagerstown. Stun gun used during arrest. All right, so we do not know this man's name. We don't know his age. We don't know anything about him other than he has been killed by police. Now, just read a little bit from it. It says a man died in Hagerstown police custody early Friday after officers used a stun gun as they arrested him during a break-in call, department officials said. One call reporting a disturbance with screaming in the background came into the 911 center around 10:30 p.m. Thursday, and a second caller reported that a man broke into her house. So they found this man in front of this home in an aggressive stance, and he appeared to be highly agitated, police said in a news release. Two more officers and a supervisor arrived a short time later. Officers believed the man was under the influence of drugs, so they requested an ambulance while they waited. Police said the man didn't comply with officers and remained aggressive during the arrest. Police said a stun gun was used and the man was placed in handcuffs. The man was unconscious and uncooperative. Well, hell, if you... Okay, he was conscious. I was about to say he was conscious and they said he was uncooperative when he was placed in the ambulance. But at some point, he suffered an unknown medical emergency and was pronounced dead after midnight. Moretus Medical Center confirmed. So they're still waiting to do an autopsy. And again, you have to take all news reports with a grain of salt, because as you heard, they're always drawing their information from what the police said. There's very little independent or investigative reporting when it comes to people dying in custody, people being killed, and you know, they usually just always regurgitate whatever the police press release states. So take that with a grain of salt. Whenever, always remember that whenever you are reading these things. Okay, so yesterday, which I think I forgot to even mention, yesterday's April 16th number of people killed by police. We had three males killed. Don't know their names, don't know their ages, don't know their races. Man in Michigan, man in California, and another man in Missouri. So I always check these killedbypolice.net casualty reports on a daily basis, so I can, you know, just be informed about what is going on in this country. And I think anybody who monitors that, they will get a realistic view of just how violent, just how much violence is in this land, and it's being committed by police. And that's a shame. That's a shame. One of the things I want to mention, let me go to Facebook right quick. Let me do a quick Facebook search. Yesterday, we spoke to Professor Mazama. She is the professor. I think she's the associate professor at Temple University in the African American Studies Department. And she came on the program yesterday to talk about the increase of black people homeschooling. Right? And so if you missed that, archives. I'm sorry. That's in the archives. So I got an email. Someone said that they were trying to call in. If they wanted to call in today during open forum, again, we'll be on air for the next hour. Next hour. She sent me an email and said that there are a bunch of black homeschooling groups on Facebook. And so if you are a black parent and you are concerned about your child's safety and you are concerned about what they're being taught, the curriculum and whatnot, the Eurocentric white supremacist curriculum, then this is an option. Homeschooling is an option. And as Professor Mazama pointed out yesterday, every year, the numbers keep increasing. I think she said it's something like maybe 1 or 2 million black homeschooling families in the United States. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So go to Facebook. I just went to Facebook. I typed in the search engine on Facebook, black homeschool, and I see several groups. Some of them are closed, some of them are private. I guess you have to request membership, but there are a number. Here's one, Black Homeschoolers Network of South Florida, Liberated Minds, Black Homeschool and Education Expo, Black Homeschoolers of Central Florida. Let me see, Homeschooling Black Families, that's a closed group. I think is it closed or you have to request membership? Let me click on this. It's got over 1,000 members. So let me see. This group is based on raising the level of thinking in respectful ways and manners. Please feel free to share with us things you have learned through experiences over the year. Okay. Yeah, you can join the group. It's still active. It's got over 1,000 people, a couple of people I'm connected to on Facebook are in this group. So that is a viable option. And I think, you know, that it is one that we need to keep pushing. We need to keep pushing. Cause I tell you what, you know, the terrorization of our children in these schools is, I just don't see it coming to an end. I don't see it coming to an end. And as we talked about yesterday, you know, the school system, the public school system of America, Professor Mazema said it wasn't designed to educate our children. It wasn't designed for us. It was designed to educate white children, not black children. And I just don't see that changing anytime soon. And so, yeah, we can push for more African-American studies being included in the high school curriculum or, you know, whatever grade level it is. We can push more for the contributions of Africans in America, their contributions to this country. Yeah, we can push for that, but, you know, I don't see that happening. I'm just trying to be realistic. You may be out there working to do such a thing in the school district that you live in, and I'm certainly that's worthwhile. But I just don't see too many people being successful in that endeavor. And so, you know, why not start coming up with like homeschooling cooperatives? Be the one to start one. But I'm just so tired of hearing about our children being terrorized. So yeah, most definitely. There are plenty of resources out there. If you just look for them, you'll come across them. I think that's very important, which kind of leads me into a story that I have bookmarked that I wanted to share along these lines about the terrorism that our children are facing and about the public education system producing little racist suspects and future white supremacists. And I got a story in my email today. It's just so pathetic. This country is just really pathetic, man. And it's really raising a lot of pathetic children. Look no further than the parents. But I don't know if y'all saw this story, but it was published on yourblackworld.net. And it's titled, White Girls Who Rapped About Lynching Black Boys Blame Racist Society. It's not a fairly long report. I'm gonna read most of the quotes from them, but just to give you some background, two white Texas, is any more racist than any other state, so let me not even put that out there, but we know what their school curriculum is like. They've been talking about, you know, teaching kids that slavery wasn't really slavery, it was an apprenticeship, and the enslaved Africans or the apprentice were generally happy and had a grand old time on the plantations. So anyway, two white Texas girls who posted a online racist rap video about lynching black boys apologized for their actions. We've been seeing a lot of apologies here lately, haven't we? Been hearing a whole lot of apologies from people who get caught. But are they really apologies or more like acknowledgments that they were caught? I was listening to, I think it was NPR, might have been NPR, and the woman who was sending the racist emails, the clerk in Ferguson. And they, you know, she gave her first interview and, you know, was answering questions about the emails. And I just heard a lot of denial there that, you know, she was denying that she was a racist. Yes, sure, I sent racist emails back and forth, but, you know, they weren't really anything mean. Just jokes, you know. But, you know, I regret that this all came out. I'm paraphrasing what she said, but that's the gist of what she said. Well, she basically was sorry she got caught. So let me get back to this story. I've already read the story, but you may not have heard it. So they said they are apologizing for their actions, but there's that but, blame society's increased sensitivity towards race for all the attention they're getting. So in other words, if the news media wasn't, for whatever reason, focusing on the racist aspect of all these black people getting gunned down, if not for the Black Lives Matter movement and all these black people out here in the streets telling you that our lives should matter, whether they're speaking, you know, in the affirmative. But it's because of all this attention that people are making a big deal over our video. If it was not for the heightened sensitivity towards race, we'd be all good. The two unnamed girls from Grapevine High School recorded a rap song where they talked about lynching black boys who tried to date them. The girls say the rap was recorded years ago, and the only reason it's getting attention now is because society has become more observant of racism. I don't think that society, well, let me put it this way. They are right there saying, you know, wider society. They're talking about white society. They're not talking about black people, because certainly black people and other non-white victims of racism, we certainly have had been, you know, observant of the racism and the terrorism that has happened to us. I mean, long history, going back to the first black newspaper founded in this country. Probably was an abolitionist paper, but yeah. So what they're talking about is the news media. You know, there is more people in the news on mainstream networks that are doing these stories on racism. So they went on to say, here's a quote: at this time in our lives, racism was not the talk of the country. See, they're acting like this was years ago, but this was in 2013 when this video was created. So she says that one of them says, at this time in our lives, racism was not the talk of the country, nor had we ever witnessed the true power of social media. Twitter was still fresh, and we had never heard of anyone getting in trouble for posting anything on social media. It was the beginning of this social era, said one of the girls in a letter that was written to her classmates and teacher. Again, the video was created in 2013. Social media has been around longer than 2013. And certainly, when we talk about especially black Twitter, because Twitter, according to what some reports say, is the social media platform that black people use most, so we call it the Twitterverse or the black Twitterverse. Certainly we have been using social media far before 2013 to point out racism. So again, you know, just that little bit right there tells me right there, I'm dealing with liars or, cause I don't believe that they're ignorant about how long social media has been around. We're talking about teenagers now. And this was in 2013. I think they might be 17, 18. So right now, I'm in this letter, they're already lying. And I'm sure their fellow students know they're lying. They know that social media and the power of it and things going viral on the internet has been happening long before 2013. But for whatever reasons, all of a sudden, this video is being shared widely. I'm not going to share it with anyone. I'll share the story with you, but I'm not going to share the video with you. Now, this video, it was like a whole production. They put in a lot of time in making this video, 17 minutes long, where they sit up there and make racially insensitive remarks and talk about the genitals of black boys Here is a line from one of the girls was rapping. She said, "Niggas, niggas, niggas, they always look at me. I want to kill them now. I want to hang them from a tree." So, again, this was posted 2 years ago. And now all of a sudden, these girls want you to think that they've been reformed in the 2 years that they posted this video back in 2013. And they say in their little letter, "The song does not portray in any way how I actually feel about people," one of the girls wrote. "I am a very open-minded person and I enjoy being part of a diverse family and diverse community. I am being raised to be respectful of all people, cultures, and differences." What, since the last 2 years, you mean you've been raised that way? Since the last 2 years, yeah, you've been raised to be respectful of other people's humanity. The other girl, again, we don't have their names. We should have their names. The other girls say that their actions reflected the society in which they live. "As kids, we hear racist jokes all times of the day," she said. "It's what we're around. It's the jokes we heard." Again, that's what the former Ferguson clerk was saying. You know, it's nothing but jokes. Nothing mean-spirited or anything, just jokes. And I mean, it's very telling what they're telling here. I want to share it with everyone. It's because, you know, it's very telling, even though, you know, I suspect that they are telling a lot of lies, but it also gives you some insight in, you know, the world that they live in. You know, they are telling you that all we hear is racist jokes all day long. It doesn't even tell us what country, I mean, excuse me, other than Texas, what school district this is. We don't know. So, you know, she says, she even witnessed racially offensive language in her own home. "In my own home," I think this is a misprint, but she says, "In my own home, my entire life, I have never heard a foul, judgmental word for another race ever leave my parent's mouth." Again, there's no way for us to independently do that. And I don't expect this child to throw her parents under the bus and put them on blast. But I just seriously, seriously doubt that she, you know, the way she's painting it, it's like she's in a home where, you know, everybody was raised to be respectful of everyone, no curse words, nothing like that. You know, a Puritan household. They lived in a Puritan household. Now, they went on to say, "I pray for your forgiveness and open, sincere hearts, and that you will believe me when I say I am so deeply sorry." Again, we've been hearing a lot of apologies here lately, from a lot of racist suspects. And so it's not up to me to accept their apology. I don't doubt one that this, letter was directed to. So how I feel about accepting their apology or not, I'm not in a conversation. But this is just, we have heard over the week about little black children being terrorized on these cases. Here this girl, these two girls then made a song about it. Lynching little black boys. It's just the world we live in. And it's pretty pathetic. It's pretty pathetic. Again, how can we hope to ever change this system, which the system is designed to produce racists? It's designed to produce. That's what the white supremacy curriculum does. It teaches these little white kids that they are superior over everybody else. Look at all their wonderful achievements. They came here with nothing and built a great empire. And don't even, you know, the morality of how the empire was built, like, you know, murdering millions of indigenous inhabitants already here and stealing their land and capturing people and enslaving them. so that you can have a cheap supply of labor. None of these things even come into their minds. I've never heard of any of the founding so-called fathers discussed in public school. I got a public school education. I never heard what they did discussed in school in any type of moralistic terms. Was they did this, but was it moral? What do you think? No, none of those questions. No, these were great men who overcame a great evil to establish a great nation. So again, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that we keep hearing stories like this, whether it is frats having little racist parties on campus where they dress up in blackface, whether it is, you know, they're singing on the bus on their way to events, chanting nigger on the bus. I'll tell you, man, in terms of in human development, I have to say the majority population in the United States has not developed at all. None of us are perfect, and we each and all should strive every day to become better people. But it doesn't seem like this society is interested in developing and moving forward and evolving to where you're not just a bunch of knuckle-dragging racists. You want to evolve past that. It's not happening. It's not happening in this country. And I don't see it happening anytime soon. I'm going to take a short break of my system. I was engaged in a training session so he can do his own broadcasting, and really used up some resources on my computer. So everything is low, and I've been battling that while I've been with my mouth. But I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'll check the phone lines and go open 530-881-1400. The access code is 54932#. And we'll be back on the other side.
This is the last chance, I think, for this country to sort of respond to the quiet and peaceful petitions of the people for asking for very, very just solutions to very, very real problems.
But we know what we can do. We want to create, like the white race created, because we are creative people. We just don't want to be the bricklayer. We want to be the designer of the building. The architect, they say we are apes, monkeys. But I know that I'm as great as any white man that ever lived. And any white man that will ever live. And I know my brothers are just as great. I'm like any other human being. I have fears. And I want to live. But I would die for what I believe in. I would die for the liberation of black people.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. I was listening to a broadcast of the Cows this past Sunday. They had on Frances Welsing. Yeah, that's her name. I don't know why I got brain freeze on that, but yeah, Dr. Frances Scott Welsing was on there, and I was listening to her, and she said something, and I gotta go back and listen to that again and make a clip out of it and turn it into a PSA for black voters, all right? She said something that I think we, a whole lot of black people that participate in the people activity of politics, need to be doing. And she said, for example, she used Hillary Clinton as an example, and those who regularly listen to this program know what I think of Hillary Clinton. She is a monster. She is a war criminal. I mean, this woman is a psychopath. She has blood on her hands. And that's not even to mention that I think she's incompetent. I really do. I don't know why people think she's so smart. But every job she has had, you know, it seems like a lot of things went terribly wrong, especially when she was running the State Department. You know, you got diplomats having sex with underage females in South America. Yeah, that happened. A lot of people don't know about that. That's, you know, not that the, we heard recently about the DEA agents, even though that's not under the State Department. They were down there in South America having sex parties. And this is your government. This is your government. And Hillary Clinton, I just don't see how any black person who calls themselves a conscious voter, shout out to the movement for the million black conscious voters and contributors, shout out to you, but I don't see how any conscious black voter could even consider voting for Hillary Clinton. All you got to do is look at what this woman has said in the past. I mean, she said a lot of racist stuff during the last campaign. In two, when was that? 2008, when she ran, challenged Obama, saying she deserved a white vote. But you look at the policies that happened under her husband's regime. Certainly, she had a hand in it. Hillary Clinton, I don't think was your typical first lady. I think Hillary Clinton was very involved in policy decisions and things of that nature. So what Dr. Francis Scott Wilson said is that if Hillary Clinton is not putting forth anything that is going to work towards solving the problem of racism and white supremacy, then elect person, you should not vote for her. Are they talking about these issues? Is Hillary Clinton saying anything other than some vague statement about all this black murder that's going on? Or does she want to walk the tightrope so she can, you know, garner police support, police union supports and things of that nature? But she hasn't said anything either way strongly on any of the issues that pertain to black people, particularly modern slavery. Slavery and human trafficking practice under the 13th Amendment of the United States. And so I have to go back and make a clip, because she didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about Hillary Clinton, because I just think that there are a whole lot of black people who might be considering voting for Hillary Clinton, and they want to use the old excuse, or they'll listen to them white people that'll tell you, the white liberals that'll tell you, well, she's better than any of those Republicans. And like I told this other person, I said, I have a principle of not voting for war criminals. And that's just it. That's, you know, nothing else matters to me. I don't care. She can say anything she want to say. I know she's a murderer. I know that she participated in the conspiracy on the government of Libya, particularly as prime minister, Muammar Gaddafi, to go in there and overthrow that country so that they could then liberate those weapons and transfer them to ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to call it. You know, those so-called terrorists out there in the middle of Iraq, in between Iraq and Syria. George Bush, and George W. Bush was running for his third term. He's like, I want to give it one more try. if my vote was dependent upon, was the deciding vote, well, guess what? They'll just have a tie. Because I wouldn't vote for either one of those criminals. And I don't understand people rationalize a vote for a war criminal. Unless you just want to ignore the crimes. So I gotta make a clip of that, cause that was, I need to hear that, cause we wanna run out, we wanna, as a group, wanna throw our votes behind Democrat. What the Democrats done for us? Y'all can talk about healthcare all you want to, that wasn't done for you. And it remains to be seen if it's going to address any other health disparities in our communities. That's who still don't have it. So what have the Democrats done for black people? I don't think they've done any at all. Matter of fact, they've went along with some stuff that has brought harm to us. Right on, Ms. Welsing. Do not vote for candidates. During this process, we should be demanding, making our demands known. End slavery. Stop human trafficking. I don't care about too many other things. That's one and two. End slavery. Stop human trafficking. As practiced under the 13th Amendment. Stop. They not talking about stopping it. I don't care to hear about anything else. Those are the two planks of my platform. I don't care to hear about the economy. I don't care to hear about job creation. I'm not trying to hear any of that. I want to hear about how you plan to stop slavery and human trafficking in this country and everything that falls up under that. Y'all can call it mass incarceration if you like, but all the black murder by the slave catchers, the brutal treatment, cause like Johannes says, we are an occupied colony or domestic colony in the United States, and they make it clear to us every day that they don't even consider us to be Americans. So, oh yeah, got a message. Let me read this message. Again, if you haven't heard that program yesterday about black homeschooling with Professor Mazama, please check it out. Please share it with others. Pamela writes in and she says, thanks again, Scotty, for another great broadcast. I have always wanted to homeschool my children, but as a working single parent, it was not possible. I have shared this info with friends and family who are looking for alternatives to the current school system, and I believe this broadcast will help. Thank you again. Well, thank you. Thank you for tuning in and sharing that. And thank you to Professor Mazama for coming on and spending almost an hour with us discussing this very important issue. And that's something I think I brought up yesterday about, everybody is not going to be able to do it. And so of approaching this as individuals, let's approach it as a collective. And we identify, we can start a homeschooling block. Everybody on our block gonna be homeschooled. Okay? And Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. whoever, Mr., they all cover these subjects and whatnot. So on this day, you go there for your studies and whatnot. Next day, you go there. We can do it. And for those that have to work and don't have the time, because they're working, well, guess what? They can contribute financially. We can, have a fundraiser to get the kids all the curriculum that they need, because you got to pay for some of that stuff. Get the curriculum, whatever materials you need to teach the kids and whatnot. We can do this, y'all. We don't have to be dependent on a system, because the system isn't serving us. How many times do we have to see examples of that before we will? And it's not all about hating white people, but it's about loving black people, about loving ourselves. If you love yourself, if you love your children, then you want to make sure they get a good education. And they are not getting a good education in the public school system. They're getting a good indoctrination on how to be little Americans. And for far too many non-white children, well, they're just being prepped for that prison pipeline. So thank you for writing in, Pamela. Yes, I do agree. You know, she was a great guest. I'm going to have her back. This is something I want to keep harping on. We talk about the problems in the course now. So we need to talk about these. We know, but yeah. Let me see, what else, can we discuss? Oh, just to let you know, Tando to Monday, because his job and do a live broadcast, but he wants y'all to know that he will be back on air on, yeah, this coming Monday, he will be back on the airways. All right, we're going to take another break, and then we come back. I'll get ready to wrap up the program. Sure, there's some more news. Yeah, I want to talk about Devontae Sanford. There's some new information to report. That was the young man, I think he was 13, maybe 14 years old, when he was framed by Detroit police for the murder of these people in this drug house. And a hitman, Vincent Smothers, later confessed to those crimes and said that this young man didn't have anything to do with it. But yet, the district attorney, or excuse me, the Wayne County prosecutor office headed by Kim Worthy, they want to cover this up. They want to keep it covered up. And I just don't understand why, man. Have you no humanity? So yeah, I want to share some information about that when we come back on the other side. You're listening to Black During Time right here on the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Host of the Abolitionist Daily and co-host of New Abolitionist Radio. The Black Talk Radio, the programming, a voice to my passion. I love that the broadcasts were able to teach me ways that I could help build a community that I want to be a part of. Now, just a few years later, and the Black Talk Radio Network features my voice, and I understand how valuable it is in changing lives. Malcolm X warned us to take the power of the media seriously. It was Malcolm who said, "The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent." And we know that it takes a strong and consistent of misinformation which flow throughout the mainstream day and night. Well, the Black Talk Radio Network is that strong and consistent media force, offering a wide range of programming with topics from politics to faith, from health to Pan-Africanism, 7 days a week, live streaming and downloadable podcasts, all through a platform that is compatible with major outlets like TuneIn, iTunes, and stream seamlessly through mobile devices and even in your car. We do all we can to fulfill our end, researching, studying topics in depth so we can give informed commentary, inviting guests who are leaders in their professional and academic fields so we can hear from the experts. And when it comes to the grassroots, no one makes more connections and establishes relationships with the folks who are in the streets and at the meetings, the people who are actively protesting, agitating for a better world, and activating minds to join the struggle. In all of this, though, we need your help to make sure the message continues to go out all across this nation and across the world. The Black Talk Radio Network is listened to by tens of thousands of faithful listeners and adding new listeners every day. We need your help to continue the mission and grow the network. Come to the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org, and click on the link to donate. Let's make sure we keep this new media going forward and as we go forward into this new millennium.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Man, I'm really struggling, so I'm sorry. I won't be able to take any phone calls. I saw a call trying to come in, but my system is really about to lock up. I had really gotten deep into helping somebody, train them and, you know, opening up a whole bunch of different programs and things of that nature to try to help them, and then doing screen share. It really used up my computer resources and I didn't reboot my computer and things are about to lock up on me. So I apologize for that. It won't happen again, I hope. But before I go, I wanted to talk about Devontae Sanford. It's been a while since I've done a report on his case, but there is some new news to report. They had a press conference, the family that is, and his attorneys had a press conference this past Friday. And again, calling on Kim Worthy, the Detroit prosecutor, the Wayne County prosecutor, to do the right thing and to stop opposing a new trial for Devontae Sanford. And, you know, of course they want to continue to oppose it because they have been covering up his wrongful conviction. I mean, come on. You don't care enough about truth and justice that you know you got a innocent young man who's been wrongly convicted and you don't want to right that wrong when you have a hitman whose lawyer came to you and told you that they had permission to tell you that Devontae didn't have nothing to do with those killings. It was him that he's never actually been charged with. I'm talking about the hitman, Vincent Smothers, the ex-former hitman, because he locked up now. Then he even offered to testify and incriminate himself to clear Devontae Sanford. In every turn, at every step of the way, the Wayne County's prosecutor's office, headed by Kim Worthy, continues to deny justice to this young man. And that kind of mindset, I don't understand it. You have to be a terribly vain person to never admit that you have made a mistake and, you know, to do what you can to correct that mistake, especially when it involves a young man. How long has Devontae been locked up? About 8 or 9 years now, since he was 13, 14 years old. So they had a press conference this past Thursday, and I think he also has, Northwestern Innocence Project, but he got a couple of Innocent Project attorneys working on his case now. So, you know, I don't think that they were on it before, but let's just hope, because they got a pretty good track record of, you know, representing people who have been wrongfully convicted. So let's hope that this is the start of the release of Devontae Sanford, because that's just, his case is just so messed up, man, and it just show you how corrupt the system is. But yet, you want to rep that red, white, and blue shirt. You want to have, you know, picnics on the 4th of July and all of that, and consider yourself an American. But, man, if being American means that I have to betray my people and that I have to uphold injustice, not justice, but uphold injustice, and that I turn a blind eye to all manner of legalized slavery and human trafficking. Now, I don't want to be an American. I'm sorry. Y'all can have that. I don't want to be that. I just really don't. Last thing I want to share with you before I jump off of these airwaves. Y'all may have heard, I don't even recall the young man's name. I can't pull it up because my computer about to lock up, y'all. Hopefully we'll be able, you know, we'll get enough in contributions that I can start replacing some of this old equipment. But I'm sure y'all may have heard about the alleged terrorist up there in Ohio, a black male who went to Syria, I believe it was Syria, may have been Iraq, could have been somewhere else, I'm not sure. I think it was Syria. But anyway, he went to train in jihad, you know, with this group called the As-Nusra Front. They got different names, several different names. And so when I saw that headline yesterday, the name of that group, I'm like, where have I heard that name before? Oh, wait a minute. Ain't that the group that damn John McCain flew to damn Turkey and met with them terrorists on the border, telling them how he was working on trying to get them some support so they could overthrow the Syrian government? Yeah, don't y'all remember that? It was a big deal about it. It was news for about 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, a couple of days. But, you know, you had these photographs of John McCain with known terrorists. And he's talking about how he was working on, y'all remember that, when they was trying to arm them Syrian so-called rebels. He was making a big deal out of it. He didn't feel like the Obama administration was doing enough, so he took it upon himself as a U.S. senator to interfere, go outside his purview, and go over here and meet with these terrorists in Syria to let them know he working on getting them some funding and arms from the United States government. So how come John McCain ain't being charged with material support? How come... Well, we know, you know, the U.S. Congress was unsuccessful in passing legislation to arm them. That's why they overthrew Libya, so that they can get those arms from Libya. But we do know there was an effort to pass a bill to provide material support to terrorists. But see, again, the law seems to be not applied equally in this country. Cause if you a teacher and you cheat on some tests or you change some scores or whatnot, you go to prison. But if you create a whole bunch of mortgage fraud, a whole bunch of securities, financial instruments based on fraud and bring down the global economy, oh man, that ain't jail worthy. That ain't prison worthy. See, that's the kind of justice they do in this country. It's not justice. So this man, I'm still, you know, I haven't really looked into the case deeply. For all I know, he could have been set up. I don't know. I'm not even speaking on his innocence or guilt. I'm just speaking on the fact that he is being charged with working with a group, an organization called Al-Nusra, I believe is how you pronounce it. They got several names, Jabhat al-Nusra or something like that. He being charged because he was over there being trained by them and, you know, associating with them and whatnot. Allegedly, of course, allegedly. He was a part of this group that John McCain was trying to get funds for. We got the pictures. John McCain meeting with these people. So how come John McCain hasn't been charged with anything? And he has a history of this, John McCain, that is. You know, back in the 80s, it was, you know, Congress didn't pass a bill to fund the Sandinistas, I think they were called, no, the Contras. So how the hell, you know, John McCain came out of his own pocket to fund them. Yeah, because, you know, he married to a rich white woman. Think she owns like a couple of beer distributorships or something like that. So yeah, he came out their bank account. He was never charged with that. Going around Congress, funding terrorists down there in South America. The death squads of South America. That's John McCain history. But again, that's the first thing I thought of, is that I heard, when I saw that story of this Ohio man, this black man who allegedly was working with this group and trained by Al-Nusra and whatnot, and I immediately was like, I heard that name and I think it was the group that John McCain had met with. So there you go. John McCain is sitting up there in the Senate while this young man is sitting somewhere in the prison cell. And they basically done the same thing, provided material support for organization that the United States government says a terrorist. But hell, they don't mind using them to overthrow Syria and cause all kind of trouble. It's a dirty country, man. Always has been. And I hope that it will not always be this way. I hope that one day we can come together and we can change this for the better, for the future of our young people coming up. But looks bleak, but there's no excuse to not give it your all, give it your best try. We got to do something because we cannot continue to exist like this. Every year, the prison plantation population grows larger. Every day, black person getting shot down in the streets. It's getting worse. It's not getting any better. All right, so that's the program. Again, Tando Radio Show will not be on air today, but Race Treaty tonight at 10 o'clock. I believe it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I believe. Race Treaty with Robin Benton will be on air right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Hope that you will tune in. Stay tuned in. Stay locked in. Of course, share the station with your friends and family. And, of course, please support this network so we can continue to grow and get better at our craft and provide even more for our people in terms of information. All right, y'all be safe over the weekend. Please don't get gunned down. Please don't get enslaved, and just recognize the fact you live behind enemy lines and conduct yourself accordingly. Be cautious. Be alert. Always have situational awareness. All right? So, yeah, until Sunday night, I will bid you a good day.